I'm CJ Miller with Michigan Ag Today on the road in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is the Michigan Farm Bureau Annual State Meeting, and I'm with Jeff Sanborn. He is District 4 Director of Michigan Farm Bureau. He's on the board, but he's also a corn and soybean producer from the Portland area. And Jeff, USDA in its final crop progress update for the very last week of November, they say that only 79% of the state's corn for grain has been harvested, which leaves 21% that's still in the ground. First of all, is that what you've experienced for your farm operation? And is that something that you've experienced among your neighbors around the Portland area, Jeff?
In my general area, the corn seems to be getting close to wrapped up, maybe a day or two left for a lot of the producers in the area. But I drove to Lansing a few days ago. This time of year, I don't get away from the farm that much, but it's regional, and I'd heard that from other. They're just the way the rain fell, got a little too wet. There was a lot of corn. I drove through on my way to Lansing. My cousin had went north to pick up hard up for us, and same thing. It just gets into areas and lots of corn out there. So I can believe the numbers are probably pretty correct.
So you still have some corn acres left to get out of the ground, and any concerns that you have or any of your neighbors have had in terms of still having quite a few corn acres still left to harvest?
I think it's always the balance of with wet ground conditions is how much damage are you going to do to the soil that'll carry over into future years. So I've been trying to kind of pick and choose where I go and harvest, and maybe a little frost helps kind of solidify things a little bit. But you know, elevator storage, if you don't have your own grain set up, the elevators have been getting full. Wet corn has been an issue this fall, so that slowed down the whole process. You know, they get filled up by mid-afternoon, and then you're done harvesting for a lot of people. I do have a grain set up, so that's been nice to get rolling, but it's been a weird year from day one this year.
Jeff, any concerns for you and your farm operation in terms of tar spot impacting corn yields, a vomitoxin, perhaps for soybeans, white mold, sudden death syndrome, any of that impacting yields on your farm?
Yes, this summer was very moist, lots of rain just constantly. So white mold was an issue in one variety that I had. Did take the better parts of the field and lower them to the lower yielding parts, but overall the soybean yield was probably a little above average. Corn was just not a lot of tar spot like we thought would happen, but I think just normal fungal diseases because it was so wet all you know, August and September. So I generally put a fungicide on, which helped, but those only have a certain lifespan too. So I think multiple applications may be paid this year, but we were awful dry. We went from one extreme to the other. We were dry for almost 2 months after planting. So the corn looked awesome after the rain, but it didn't have the foundation to high yield. We had good yields, but not what you would think with the summer we had later. Plus the cloudiness with the lack of sunshine with the Canadian forest fires. So it all added up and a good year overall, but not record. But there are some areas of the state that have had their best year ever.
It's interesting you mentioned the Canadian wildfires because I'm curious the impact, and I'm sure it's something that that agronomists and scientists will study here in the next year or so, but I'm kind of curious the overall impact that the Canadian wildfires may have had on stunting the growth for corn and soybeans, in addition to all the other issues that you mentioned, the weather conditions not necessarily cooperating from start to finish, disease pressure. So I'm kind of curious in terms of where you are, how much Canadian wildfire smoke really stunted yields for corn and soybeans this year.
Early on, it was probably helpful because of the lack of moisture. It slowed the crop down. Like my corn never really got the drought symptoms you'd normally see. It just slowed down probably because of lack of sunshine. But on the amount that it affected, I was talking to someone with a solar array, and they said that their output was down about 10% because of the Canadian wildfires. So you take, the solar panel is just like a plant. If it doesn't get sunshine, it's not going to produce. So you take away 10% of the sunshine, that's going to affect a corn plant because that's what they want, sunshine, heat, and water. So
chatting with Jeff Sanborn here on Michigan Ag Today, and it's interesting because you have, over the course of the past year, you have not only lower input prices, but also we're seeing lower and lower bases for corn and soybeans. And from day to day, you may see soybeans shoot up 20 cents. You may see soybeans drop 25 cents. Same way with corn. You may see a little less of that roller coaster ride, but still we're seeing lower and lower basis for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Is that concerning to you at all when you see the when you see those prices coming out of Chicago?
Yeah, we've had basically three good crop years in Michigan, so there's plenty of supply out there, so that's going to affect the local markets when it comes to the basis. I think what happens a lot with farmers is we do what we do best. We keep getting better, whether it's technology or we learn something that increases yield. The size of equipment allows us to get things done a lot quicker, more timely than we ever have. So it's sometimes, you know, farmers, we're our own worst enemy. We always want to get better. I mean, and that's great. That's the American dream, to do better. But sometimes it's like, yeah, it's going to affect us. But as long as you've got the yield, sometimes the price, it'll offset.
Let's talk about next spring and plans in terms of inputs. How far along are you in terms of planning for 2024? And not to put the cart before the horse, but you know, kind of a crystal ball in terms of what you're looking for in 2024.
It just seems like this year we're getting back to normal a little bit, where in the past you had to secure things to make sure you had what you needed, whether it was fertility or chemicals that you wanted to use for crop protection or seed. But I think the supply chain's starting to catch back up. So some of the things like securing Roundup, well, the Roundup price that I secured last year at this time is half today. So, and maybe we're getting more into what we were used to pre-COVID. So hopefully that's the case, but there's going to be people that buy early thinking that they got a deal and it didn't turn out to be a deal. But on the flip side, we're still in a rocky area, I think.
Jeff, what message do you have for other Michigan corn and soybean producers, not just in your neck of the woods, but all across the state?
I guess just keep doing what we've always done. Eventually, you know, we continue to learn and look at precision agriculture and just keep getting better at what we do.
Once again, Jeff Sanborn with Michigan Farm Bureau, District 4 Director. And Jeff, thank you so much for joining us here today on Michigan Ag Today. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.